2:30 kick, Jordan here, Stadium Iron Bowl, the 86th edition, and Stan White is with us on the Pepsi Hotline to tell him more about it. How many is this for you, Stan? How many do you keep up with it? Do you know how many you've attended, played in, or called on the radio?
Man, I do not know. Somebody told me how many consecutive games I broadcasted last year, but quite honestly, I forgot that number. I guess I'd go back and look, but this is 21 years of doing it.
21?
So I guess it would be, yeah, it's my 21st year. And I also did a couple of years on old College Sports South, if y'all remember that.
I do, yeah.
With Andy Burcham, actually.
Yeah, I got a check from them once or twice, yeah.
There you go. And I played in four of them, so I don't know. That's a good.
You're approaching 30. That's a pretty good run, yeah.
Hey, before we get into the 86th edition tomorrow of the Iron Bowl, let's go back the last couple of games for Auburn. Blown 14-point leads in both of those games. I know that's been frustrating for you as a broadcaster watching that. If you had to try to point out one major reason they've blown 14-point leads in back-to-back games, what is it?
Oh, well, and one was a 25-point lead, if I'm not mistaken, 28-3. One thing I think it just harks back on is just being able to finish and play four quarters. I mean, they have the ability to play well at a high level on both sides, but they just haven't been able to sustain it for four quarters. And obviously, that's what you got to have to be able to win and compete at a high level. I mean, you get up 14-0 in Columbia, you get up 28-3, Mississippi State, and you just can't hold those leads. And good teams. Really good teams, above average teams, know how to finish. And right now, the first part of the year, they were playing at a high level. The Ole Miss game kind of showed a few cracks in there in the second half, even though they were able to hold on and win by 11. And we just saw last night, Ole Miss finished a 10-win season. And so they're good enough to do it, but then the last couple of weeks, they've just not been good enough, obviously, to hang on and put those games away. So. You do this, you do that tomorrow, and it could be a long day against Alabama.
Stan, the easy answer is you blame the defense, right, when you can't hold on to a 25-point lead or this or that. But, I mean, some of that falls on the offense, right? I mean, yes, you've built up the lead, but at some point another touchdown could really break the back of the other team, right? Some of that goes on the offense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's not one single one. I mean, a lot of people want to look at that 28-3 blown lead. Defense only rushing three, sometimes four at the most. And, Will Rogers is picking them apart. But also, if your offense can just keep the pedal down and maybe not take too many risks, but still be aggressive enough to be able to move the ball, run the clock, and get some points, then all of a sudden, you help your defense out a little bit. So, yeah, there's no single side. I mean, everybody wants to say, well, the defense blew a 28-3 lead, but the offense – didn't score very much after that as well. So, you put your defense on the field a lot longer when you can't sustain drives. And so it's a total combination of a problem.
Stan White is with us, former Auburn quarterback, now analyst on the Auburn Sports Network, 11:30 airtime from Dana Jordan-Hare Stadium, 2:30 kick for the Iron Bowl. Stands on the Pepsi Hotline. I brought this up. We were talking with John Parker earlier, and I brought up Alabama's run defense. And I want to ask you about the importance of staying patient with the run, because I started looking at the game by game. Since the Florida game, which Alabama played back in mid-September, only two teams have eclipsed 100 yards rushing on Alabama. They were Arkansas last week at 110, LSU at 109 a few weeks back. Both games Alabama had to fight to win. Here's what jumped out at me, Stan, though. It took 40 carries for LSU to get to 109, 42 for Arkansas to get to 110. That's a pretty bad average, but they never gave up on the run. How important is that in this game?
Well, I think you've got to be able to – you're not going to rush for 200 yards against Alabama, 250 or whatever. I mean, but you've got to be patient enough to be able to do that. You've got to take your 2- and 3-yard gains, because if you get into a 50-pass match, especially with a T.J. Finley, who's only making his second start of the season, then that's a bad recipe. So, you may not break the 15 and 20, 25-yard gains, but you've got to have a running game against Alabama. I mean, you just got to, because – They can score such a good clip and a quick clip with their receivers, with Young and then Robinson. You just got to be able to do that. It's got to be a part of your game. You may not have a goal to go for 200, but you have a goal to go for 125. And you've got a guy in Tank Bigsby that now has shown he can carry a load, and then Jarquez Hunter's a good offset of that. So Yeah, you've got to be able to run the ball. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Well, to me, outside of Tank, the most important player on that offense is Kobe Hudson. I mean, just his ability to make plays. Obviously wasn't playing last week. Do you know where he is right now, the status of Kobe Hudson?
I don't, but you're right. I think he has been that guy as the year has gone on, that important role, because they haven't had the strong. They haven't had that guy that can take a top off of a defense like a Flash did last year, or just that dangerous guy that says, okay, we can't play man up with him because he can strike for 50 any time. Demetrius Robertson's shown some flashes. Tavares Johnson from Trustful has also been that guy that's shown some flashes, but consistently, I think Kobe Hudson has been that guy. He's a bigger target. He's a guy that can catch the third down in middle, you know, across the middle. And yeah, he was out last week. I hope he's back. I think he was in concussion protocol, if I'm not mistaken, last week. And so I'm hoping that he will be back. That'll be a big get to get for T.J. Finley back.
Big picture, because I don't know when we'll talk to you again, Stan, after the game tomorrow. How active do you think Auburn should be or will be in the transfer portal? And I'm not talking about people leaving. I'm talking about people coming. Because you look at what Michigan State has done with Mel Tucker, and I think they had 33 new people on the roster this year, counting all the portal people. Is that a way Brian Harsin and staff can sort of re-change this roster? And is that something, as an old-school college football guy, you'd be all into?
Well, unfortunately, you know who used to do this is actually, and it really wasn't a transfer portal thing because it wasn't around, but Bill Snyder at Kansas State used to sign a lot of junior college players.
Yes.
And those were, you know, 2- and 3-year guys at the most. And he did a good job at Kansas State. Built, you know, a top 20 program there. I'm just not sure you can sustain it with a lot of junior college players, but you don't get 2 or 3 years. But the transfer portal has just evolved the game. I was talking to a coach. And I won't name his name, but he's a college coach. And he said that recruiting high school kids now, you just got such a low amount of numbers because you have to save so many spots for potential transfer portal guys. And so it's unfortunate because I think it hurts the high school player because you're already limited to 25. Let's say you save 8 or 9 of those, or 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever for a transfer portal. And you can only sign, you know, 12 or 14 high school players. So, unfortunately, that's become a part of your recruiting regimen and your philosophy. You've got to allow yourself enough spots to sign transfer portal guys. And I think you do. And there's certain positions also. You know, lineman is usually one that you look at some. The wide receiver. I mean, you look at Alabama. You know, they're arguably their top guy this year is a transfer from Ohio State. And so – that's just the nature of where we are in college football. And I think it's unfortunate for the high school football player that's coming out, because now, you know, instead of 25 spots, you may have 15 to fill high school guys.
All right, he is Stan White. You'll hear him from Jordan-Hare Stadium with the Auburn Sports Network starting at 11:30, 2:30 kick for the Iron Bowl. Stan, we appreciate it all season.
Yeah. Quickly. Okay, we had this argument last week on the Auburn the tailgate show, our pregame show. Andy, we listed all favorite side items for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mine was dressing, cornbread dressing with gravy and a little turkey on top, a little green bean casserole. Andy Burcham's was cranberry sauce, and my argument was cranberry sauce is not a side, it's a topping of a side.
It's a condiment.
It's basically a condiment. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I said, a condiment of a side. He argued it was a side.
No.
And so we went through the whole cast. Anyway, what is y'all's favorite side?
Oh, by the way, I like the cranberry sauce out of the can.
The ocean spray?
The ocean spray is the only way to go. But my favorite is, I love the mac and cheese stand, but like off the board is squash casserole if done right. And I had some really good squash casserole yesterday.
That's a good call. I like that. Go ahead.
I'm with you. I'm the cornbread dressing because I don't eat it any other time except for Thanksgiving and maybe Christmas, but Thanksgiving. So that says Thanksgiving to me, like watching the horrible Lions play. I mean, it's just hand in hand, right? You watch those big balloons on Thanksgiving morning floating down New York. Then you watch some Lions football, and then you get cornbread dressing,
yeah.
And I love that.
I'm going sweet potato casserole, Stan. I could eat a plate full of it. Yeah. I mean, I could do nothing but sweet potato casserole. It's like dessert at dinner.
Marshmallows on top?
Marshmallows on top is my preference, but I will not turn down any kind.
Yeah, my wife is a mashed potato favorite side. But, you know, my argument is mashed potatoes is eaten quite a bit during the year.
Year round, yep.
So
yep.
That's me, not a true Thanksgiving side, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. That's a good discussion you guys have there. I like that. I could never have cranberry sauce again and be fine. I really don't even like I'm going to my in-laws' house tonight, Stan, for my wife's side of the family. I probably won't even dip it out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't dislike it, but I don't care for it either.
Yeah, I'm so, just I can.
Know, that's why to me,
leave it or take
now,
it.
You give me some dressing with some gravy and a little turkey on top, next man. Oh man,
yeah, no doubt.
Make you want to sit back and just watch college football all day, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, Stan. We'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Thank you for the time.
Take care, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too, buddy. That is Stan White, former Auburn quarterback, with us on the Pepsi Hotline.